I think he did. I think he did. That came to mind when I thought of that verse he was talking
about. Evan, but I want to preach just for a few minutes on emergency responders. But I do count it a privilege, and always do, when I come here to the church. My heart is always overwhelmed with joy and memories. I have so many memories of wonderful, wonderful times together. And for each of you, it's always a privilege to be here. Pastor Jarvis, I'm sure, is celebrating this morning. They're building a building in Sand Springs, and the dedication of the church that he had founded probably over, I don't know how many years ago. But God bless the church. I'm glad the church is going on. Amen. And the work of God is going on, and it's continuing. Hallelujah. You know, there are many ways that we can serve God. There are a lot of different ways that we can all be useful to the kingdom of God. But I believe that God has called us to respond in prayer, and that there is a ministry of prayer and intercession that we read about here in the book of Nehemiah that I want us to call ourselves and our attention to. We're living in unprecedented times. We're living in times of great challenge for the church in many ways. But you know, I've seen God bless the church. There was a pastor I talked to just this last week at a church in Kettering, and said, we're having our grand reopening. And they have not had church service in 1 year. 1 year. And then that they're having their grand reopening. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, but somehow, in some way, I've seen God bless the church and people, even at our own church up north, God just blessing and people getting saved. And there's people coming in on Sunday morning I've never seen before. Because I believe that there's a great hunger for God. There's a great desire for that there is such a drought that has crossed our nation, and a spiritual hunger. And there are people in great need. Great need. And I realize today, you know, that God can meet that need. And God laid upon my heart that God is, I believe he's going to prepare the church here for a great and mighty move. God is going to bring a revival. God is going to do a work in these last days. He said he would. Do you believe that in the last days that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh? I realize that we've lost an hour. This is daylight savings. How many of you are really happy that you got 1 hour less to sleep? But we're here. And God's working, and God's moving, and God's preparing. And I believe that God is with us this morning. And to bring a challenge to you, God has a ministry for you to be involved in today. And you are important to the kingdom of God. And of all things, when you think about what can I do and what is my ministry, we see that there's a great importance of intercession and prayer. And we can see that God works powerfully. He has chosen to work through prayer. And there are times when, as Hudson Taylor said, when we work. But when we pray, God works. Let me tell you, brother, when we pray, God begins to move, and he is so chosen to work through the church, through the ministry of intercession and prayer. And I come to you this morning to preach to you about intercession and prayer and the importance of your ministry in this church and what God is preparing this church to experience. And the great need of the hour. I want to be a part of that ministry. Don't you, brothers and sisters? And sometimes things happen you can't say anything except they're an emergency. Have you ever experienced or remember some tragic event that occurred and how it stopped you in your tracks and you realized that, hey, this is something that is tragic. I remember, can you believe it was 35 years ago in January, 35 years ago when the space shuttle Challenger, they sent it up. And I remember when it exploded. I remember where I was. I was in my car and I heard it on the news, in my car right in front of Carnaby Square when I heard the news 35 years ago. And I remember it had such an impact because it was an emergent need. And there are emergent needs. Brother, when Pastor Jarvis was having some physical problems, that was an emergent need. And thank God there was a church that went to prayer. And there were churches that went to prayer. And I was one of them that joined with you in prayer. That God would bless our brother. And he brought him through. And he's feeling good. And he's probably preaching up a storm in Oklahoma this morning. Because God is good. Because God is good. Well, they told me, Sister Huff told me, that Sister Faye Walker had an issue. And even in Oklahoma, Pastor Jarvis was able to contact through, I guess, what do you call that, Sister Huff? Call them all. I love that. She was telling me, and call them all. Because there's a group of people that whenever there's an emergent need, that someone is in need, we can't wait 2 weeks from now. We can't wait till the next church service time. We've got to begin to intercede and move in prayer for the need. And I'm glad, and we need to continue to pray, but there's a lot of folks that are in need, that are in need. Sometimes at the radio station, I'll be sitting there, and I'm just, third string. I'm a third stringer. And I'll sit there, but all of a sudden, the EAS will go off and scare me to death. It will give this buzzing. It sounds like the walls are shaking, but it's that clicking noise. And then you'll hear, this is a message from the emergency response system. If this had been an actual emergency, blah, 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 you would have been notified. But at that moment, all the radio stations are hearing the exact same thing. Because the whole importance of that system is so that in a blanket way, everyone can know and hear if there is an event or an emergency. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, there are emergencies. And sometimes people have emergencies. I remember the fellow that I followed when I began to pastor in southern Indiana years ago, Brother Mike Pennington. Not only was he the pastor, but he was an EMS, or EMT, I think they call them, EMT. And I remember because the church in Parsonage was very close to I-64, and there was a rollover and an ejection from a vehicle. And he was just right down the street, and he responded and got there before anyone else. And I remember him telling me about this. He said, when I got there, there was a woman, and she had a severe gash that had cut an artery. And she was bleeding out right before my eyes, but I was able to take off my belt and make a tourniquet and pull it tight and keep her from bleeding out, because, friend, she would have died. She would have died had it not been for emergency response right then and right there. And I'm here to tell you, I'm thankful for those who will just respond when the need is there, when it is before us to respond to the need. There are people that will die and be lost forever if the church does not respond. There's emergencies and an emergency response, but aren't you glad when there are those that are there that can see the life saved? Amen. Emergency alerts, amber alerts. Heaven doesn't have an amber alert, but let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, realize that it's an alert, friend. It's something that is important, and if it's important enough for God to wake you up in the middle of the night for you to begin to pray, then it's important enough. Amen, that you can know that God will hear your prayer. You know, we use those text messages, and sometimes we'll send a text, and sometimes it'll say at the bottom, it was seen. It was seen at such and such a time. But let me tell you, if God wakes you up in the middle of the night and lays upon your heart to pray for so and so, and if he will get you up out of bed and call you to prayer, I guarantee you that your prayer will be heard. Your prayer will be seen before Almighty God. And more than that, that God will respond. For you see, this is the way that God has chosen to incorporate his church in the way he works in this world. It's through prayer and through intercession and through the move of God's Spirit. I remember several years ago, Brother Greg, I was sitting about three rows back. Well, maybe a little, about where you're at, in fact. And I remember we were in revival with Brother Tommy Hoag and a dear, precious brother, and some of you may remember Brother Middleton. And Brother Middleton was sitting about the second row down over here. And Brother Gene got him up to preach, and as he got up, he testified, and he sang a song. And I still remember him singing, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. And I remember then he went down, and he sat down here in this row right here. Cooney and Eula would be right about here, and Cooney would tap in his hand on the back of the pew until it wore a place there. And then Brother Middleton, all of a sudden, I looked over and he went over. And his heart stopped right here in the church. Well, my wife was about 6 or 8 months pregnant with Emily. But she jumped up, and don't you know that there was probably 4 or 5 nurses in the building? I don't know, I guess Arlene was probably there. Jeannie was there. Cheryl Martin was there. Gary Smith, who is a trained paramedic, was there. Sister Kruger, remember, I think Kruger, she was here. The house was full of emergency responders. And when he went down, and I'm saying this, he went down, my wife grabbed him like a sack of potatoes and threw him right down here in the middle of that aisle. And I looked over and I saw buttons fly. And I didn't know until yesterday, Sister Huff thought it was his teeth. But I saw buttons fly, and they were on Brother Middleton. And for the next few moments, don't you know when the ambulance got up here, and I remember getting down on my knees in that emergency waiting room and praying, oh God, would you spare his life? But let me tell you, Gary Smith ran the code up there at the hospital. He ran the code. They were having trouble with the electric. And don't you know that God brought him out? You had a raising of the dead right here at First Pentecostal. Praise God. Because there were those that went, you can't wait when there's an emergency. You can't wait. There are needs, my friend, that are more valuable and important to God. And there are needs that we have to respond to. And I'm here to tell you this morning that when you're in the midst of an emergency, amen, you need someone that knows how to pray. You need someone that, and I'm not going to mention any names here, but they were doing compressions on brother and somebody else. They were wanting to be helpful. They were kind of up there and just kind of every once in a while they'd give them a little tug in the, a punch in the rib cage. It just, and one of the sisters that was doing that later said, what was they trying to do? But let me tell you, when there's an emergency situation, you need someone that knows what they're doing. You need somebody that knows something about how to meet that need and to intercede in a situation like that. And my friend, you know what you need when emergencies happen? You need brothers and sisters that know how to touch God. They know how to touch heaven. They know how to pray, and they know the value that God answers prayer. And I'm so thrilled to be able to say, I believe the house this morning is filled with those, amen, that know how to touch God. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us today, because that's what you need. And in an emergency response, you need the right person. You need the right person. You know, I appreciate people that are firemen. Did you know that most of the fires that happen, they're put out when they're small? Did you know that? You don't hear it. You'll hear about it when the house burns down. And they'll put it in the paper. But most of these responses, when someone calls these firemen, that they put out a kitchen fire, they put out something at the den or a heater that is overturned, and they'll get it and they'll stomp it out. Sometimes, you know what God's church needs is people that know how to stomp out fires before they ever get started. Amen. Someone say amen. If you will stomp out when it's small, and you need people in the church that will do that, people that will respond when there is a need. And there's not everyone that's able to, they're not going to deal. I tell you what you don't need is you don't need a gossip. Hello. You don't need a gossip. No. No, sir. No, sir. In an emergency, you need someone that stays ready. Ready to pray, ready, amen. And you don't need someone that before they call someone else to pray, they've already told six or seven people just because they told six or seven people. Hello. And you know how that goes. But when someone hears the need, they'll say, oh, God of heaven. And they'll begin to tune in on the one that really needs to hear about that situation. The one that knows and the one that can do something about it. Amen. And so in emergency response, God give us, amen, that sense of urgency whereby the Holy Spirit will lead us into prayer. I read a story one time of a fella years ago, and he, there was a retiring a set of horses that worked for, you know, they were there being sold by the city. And so they had a lot of life in them. He thought, well, I'll use them in the field. But he would bring them every once in a while, he would bring them back into the town. And as he was going down Main Street with his little team there, suddenly he'd pass that fire station. And the fire station, you'd hear that bell clanging. And suddenly those horses were rear up and buddy. It was everything on his wagon was overturned, and they would get with it. And they were gone. And he asked, what in the world's wrong with these horses? He said to those horses used to pull the fire wagon. Hello. I'm telling you, when we hear the need, we need to respond to the need. I don't care how old you are. Some of you say, well, I've retired. But brother and sister, you actually were reignited. I started to say refired, not retired. Amen. When God calls you into this ministry of intercession and prayer, when God calls you into this place where you hear the need, amen, it's for a reason and for a purpose. Now, Nehemiah in chapter 1, let me read with you this morning. First, we'll read the first three verses. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 12th year, as I was in the Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren came, and certain men of Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I find it interesting that the scripture says that it was his brother that brought the news. He said, when my brethren came, and he mentioned his own brother, he said, Hanani, my brother, came. And he told me of what was happening. He told me of the great need. He told me of how Jerusalem is broken down and the gates have been burnt with fire. And so we got to understand, amen, in the book of Nehemiah, that it begins with some really terrible news, tragic news, that the walls have been torn down. The city had been burnt. The people were suffering. There was great trouble. But in this moment and in this instance, we understand, first of all, that it was because of the rebellion. We understand it was because of disobedience. It brought division. The kingdom of the north and south, Judea and Israel, both were now divided. We understand that they had been dispersed among the nation. We also understand that there was the Babylonians that came, and they just conquered everything. After that, the Babylonians followed actually the Assyrians. And then after the Babylonians came the Persians, and there was a king, a new king on the scene by the name of Cyrus. So that is the background. That's the backdrop of what is happening there. But there was a remnant that remained. And let me tell you, regardless of how tough it gets in this world, and all of the difficulty we may see, there's still a remnant of God. God's always got a people. And in those moments, that's when we need to move and react and respond to that need. Because there's always going to be some bad news. What helps you to become aware of the needs around you? What is it that makes you aware that there are needs? And I need to pray. Now, Brother Jarvis sent out a text that told about Sister Walker. And you know why? It wasn't just to let you know her condition. It was to call you to that holy place of intercession and prayer. And oh God, would you move on her behalf? Amen. Amen. And when Nehemiah saw this, he became consumed with the need. He was touched. He was so moved. A couple of things that we need to learn here as well is, first of all, to get the story straight. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to tarry there, but to get the story straight. How many of you believe that that's important? And then secondly, to not jump to conclusions. Hello. Nehemiah was a good listener. I've been around a lot of people in my time, but never before in the last 4 years, God has shown me the importance of being a listener. In the last 4 years. And I have been working with hospice patients in Ohio. And I have about 80 families or 80 patients, 80 people assigned to me as a chaplain. And I'll tell you what, there are times and moments that you need to listen to what someone has to say. They don't need to hear what you have to say many times as much as they need to tell you what's on their heart and make things right with God. And I'll tell you just a little experience. Is it all right? I don't know what time it is, but will you stay with me for till I get done? A couple of weeks ago, I arrived at a home, and when I got out, the son had pulled in right behind me, and he led me into the house. And in the house, there was a hospital bed in the front room. And I began to talk to the caregiver and then the son, and we talked about this precious woman who was of the Lutheran faith background, and she had her Bible and her prayer book there next to the bed, and how she had this long-standing faith. And we walked over there and I began to read some scriptures, and she was non-responsive. Breathing steadily, I began to pray, and I prayed a couple of prayers for God's blessings. And then when I stepped back, the son hugged his mother and he said, "Mama, it's okay to go now. Go, and when you go, tell Daddy I said hi." And when he let go of her and stepped back, that was her very last breath. And he looked up and he said, "Chaplain," he said, I think she was waiting for you to get here." And I don't know about that. And I'll tell you, that's not the first time I've seen that happen. But I tell you, in times like that, that God's ever present. In times like that, you can see that God is moving. And many times, it is not what I need to prepare myself to say. Sometimes I need to listen. I need to be active, an active listener, a reflective listener, reflective feedback when people want that. But to listen to the heart of an individual, God help us to listen. And I tell you what, one of the greatest speakers I've ever known was the greatest listener. And I've never seen a listener better than Gene Huff. And he taught me so much. But he was one of the finest speakers. But any one of you here that can relate to this, and you had something to say, he listened. And he would be out town, we'd walk the street, and he'd say, "I know you, your cousin's first cousin to so-and-so and this." And he would tell, but then he would listen to them. God help us to listen when the Spirit speaks. To be sensitive enough to pull back from what we think's important. Amen. Well, what we think is prioritized. What we think, may God help us to be sensitive enough to listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks. Because, friend, there are moments in time, amen, when people just don't have time. When people just don't have time. But here's a man that responded. Did you know that we can learn some things about Nehemiah and his response to this emergency? Nehemiah, and incidentally, the unexpected news can hit us hard. Can you say amen? Praise God. It can hit us hard. But we can learn some things about Nehemiah's response. As we read in the passage of Scripture, very next verse, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant." You know what he's beginning to do? He's beginning to pray. Amen. Is that what you read there in the sixth verse? And you know what he said? "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." He's saying we're responsible for the shape we're in. I realize that. He's not trying to pass the buck. He's not trying to place the blame. But he's saying, oh God, we all bear some responsibility here. "We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." So I want to very, very quickly just say that when unexpected news hit, Nehemiah sat down and he wept. He wept. Amen. You know, there are prayers, but then there are prayers. There are prayers that you pray, and you've checked that one off the prayer list. But then there are prayers. There are prayers that touch you to the core. There are prayers that you just can't let go. There are prayers, like we were talking about, Sister Huff, just yesterday, that you can't turn loose of until you pray through. And there are needs that demand intercession. And he sat down and he wept. He was moved. He fasted. He got so concerned about the need, he spent some time fasting and praying. And not just one day. But he began to pray. He said, for days I prayed. You know what? His grief led him to God. And I want you to know, amen, that when our grief leads us to God, we can learn that prayer is seeking the will of God for the situation. Prayer, it's not trying to get God to do what we want. Prayer is seeking God on behalf of someone, amen, and praying, thy will be done, O God, in this situation. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why did Jesus say that we should pray this way? Because I believe that there are a lot of things that happen that are not the will of God. There are a lot of things that happen in this world that are not the will of God. Every time a sinner dies lost, it is not the will of God. Amen. For God is not willing that any should perish, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And every time a man or a woman dies lost, this is not the will of God. Why do we intercede? Why? Because we're praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God has called us, everyone, to be engaged in emergency response. Amen. It can make the difference, and I must hurry, and I will hurry. I will hurry. But I'm here to tell you that prayer is a good time for confession, but prayer is an awesome time for intercession. And Nehemiah understood that until it became a lifestyle for him. And then finally, and I close with this, and I'll just say I'm starting to close, that we're going to land this plane before noon. But I believe that, amen, if we'll meet together, amen. You know, I said that jokingly, folks, because I don't care what time it is. My watch is still set on the old time. So I still got an hour. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, more than that, when we gather here in a few minutes around these altars, there's a sister in the hospital, and this afternoon she's in need. It's her standing in need of prayer. Amen. There are situations in your home probably, or someone that you know. And I can tell you so many stories that I heard from this pulpit and the old pulpit. So many that I want to tell you right now, but I can't. But I'll tell you this. There are people standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. Oh, my. Oh, my. Remember when Mike brought and when Jasper went down at the coal tipple? I remember us all, me and Jeannie, and little Joseph was just a little boy, and we met there. And I remember Chuck and all of them were gathered together, and that was a time, my friend. That was an emergency, and we needed God. And I'll never forget how that God ministered in that moment to bring comfort to a family. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. I'm here to tell you, but he said, finally, in verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word, God, the word thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But remember what else you said, O God. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Oh God, do you remember when you said that as well? And I'm here to tell you that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. That promise is still true today in 2021. It's just as true today, and God will still heal our land, and God still will intervene, and God still will hear from heaven and meet the need, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. You know what Nehemiah, he ended up saying? He said, and I, he said, the last few words of the whole verse there, he said, "For I was the king's cupbearer." We think Nehemiah, I mean, he had an important job, but it was behind the scene, friend. We think that he was some great oracle in the land and had power and authority. No, he was behind the scene. He would sip on that cup, make sure it wasn't poisoned. Maybe back in wherever they had their kitchen, I don't know. And that was his job. That's what he did. But, oh, let me tell you, he had the ear of the king. You may think that this morning, well, I'm not an oracle. I'm not a great speaker. I've never preached a message, and I sure ain't going to hold a revival. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, as the king's cupbearer, you bear before the king much more, amen, than what Nehemiah did that day. You bear before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the intercession of the saints of God. You bring before the King the sweet substance and essence of a prayer in sincerity and truth. You bring before the King, amen, the needs and intercession of great life-changing transformational events that occur. You bring it before the king. Amen. You may say, "I'm just a cupbearer, Brother Parker," as we stand together in the presence of the Lord. "I'm just a cupbearer." But brothers and sisters, you bring before the king because you've got the king's ear. And I'll tell you, if it was me laying in the hospital, I would want people just like you. Just like you, Brother Gilpin. If it was me laying in the hospital, I'd want people. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God to bring my case. Brother Bowman, we are called to that ministry. To bring my need before the Master. And I just feel that that for all of us in this season, God has called us to respond. Amen. We must act. We must respond. We must pray. Serving God is more than a Sunday and Wednesday activity. We can serve God and others when we pray. Our work for God is never done. Some of the greatest workers for the kingdom may have never stood and spoke to the masses. But when God's man or God's woman begin to intercede for the need and touch the heart of the king, God can move. You all remember I told you about Brother Middleton? You all remember I told you about Brother Middleton that day? What happened to him? Don't you know that he just came back? He lived at least 2, maybe 3 years later. He would have died that night had there not been an emergency response. But he went on and lived, and I really don't know how many years he lived afterwards until it was time and God, but God had him at the right place at the right time that night. And let me tell you, that's the end of that story. It's a good story. Until God, and I remember, you'll remember, some of you too, that he came back, and you know what he did? He sang one more time. Woo! Buddy, I feel something down in my shoes this morning. Whew. He sang one more time, and I remember him. And he got down right about here, and he lifted up that hand, and he said, "You know, I was right here, and I could see. It was like I was floating around, and I could look down, and I saw myself. And I was floating around here." And it wasn't for the next few years, at least. But now he's in the presence of the king. But God wasn't finished with him that night. But thank God for emergency responders. Are you an emergency responder? Oh, let's come and find a place and just spend a moment in intercession for someone. And amen, if you know the Spirit speaks to you and expresses to you, pray, intercede. Pray for Sister Faye. Pray for Pastor Jarvis. Pray for all of those folks that are struggling. You know them. You know them by name. And brothers and sisters, there's no better time than right now to call on God and pray.